SM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We be starting hour two here with the El Paso. We don't have a Paso History Moment. It's produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. There's a lot of El Paso involved there. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah,
that?
There's a lot of really El Paso.
But guess what? Her topic today is about El Paso as the California Gold Rush happened.
There's gold in them thar hills. January 24, 1848, gold is discovered at Sutter's Mill in California, and the rush is on. People with gold fever from around the world head to California's motherlode and have to pass right through El Paso on their way. El Paso, known as Franklin then, was the midpoint and the southernmost snow-free route through the Rocky Mountains and offered gold seekers year-round passage to California. They came first in a few pack trains, and at times the town was overrun with as many as 4,000 travelers in 1,500 wagons perched at the edge of the Rio Grande. Businesses started to spring up in Franklin. There was no turning back, and soon Franklin grew into El Paso. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Now, you're just allied with everybody. I can tell that.
I know, I know.
So what's that deal? How big are they?
Pardon?
The Alliance.
Oh, well, the History Alliance, well, they're a large group. It's they're great friends and partners in the history of El Paso, and they have education, information, photographs, and so much more on the El Paso History Alliance Facebook page. And it's just a great platform that they've been running with by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And one of the oldest Facebook pages and very good friends of the show is El Paso's Remember in El Paso When. One always is a tongue tire for me. They'll, you can find extensive archives of pictures and history information, and their page is managed by Barbara Givenbaney, who's the chief administrator, and she has a fantastic team helping her out.
And she has a real name called BGB.
BGB.
But anyway, she's the chief admin. And more she's got there, Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louis, Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes, a bunch of good people there volunteering to help take El Paso history into another level. We do appreciate it. That's a very good Facebook page. All right, we got out. I'm going to start off with a couple of guys here that we know are in the El Paso Prospectors Club. And let's go with one whose name is James. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Is it still morning? Yeah, it sure is.
It depends on what side of the town you're getting up on, I think, at these days. And it's James Olbrisk.
Olbrisch.
Say that.
Olbrisch.
Spell that for me.
Olbrisch.
Okay. And so you happen to have a brother-in-law who is also on the radio this morning. In fact, he's still here. Hey, Keith.
Hi. I'm still here.
Are you guys talking across the room or are you in different places today?
Well, I could probably turn on the phone a little farther away.
All right, fair enough.
So
well, the thing is,
I could probably turn on the 2 meter radio and give him a call on the radio.
ham
radio also.
You can mess this up. We can barely chew gum and talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say six degrees of Kevin Bacon. I'll tell you guys a story. The ham radio operator, a young man, about 1996. I remember listening to this radio show, hiking up to North Mount Franklin to go work on one of those repeaters.
Oh
my.
Geez.
Well, I remember doing that. I remember you guys when you did that. It's an interesting world that you guys live in. Let's talk about this a bit for the prospectors. Because what I did, I talked to you originally, both of you guys, about how there were two clubs, and I wanted to make sure we got the right one or somebody could talk about both of them. So we promoted one, but you guys are in the other. Is that what happened?
Right. Yeah, there's a little bit of confusion with the name. The Gold Prospectors of El Paso, they're the guys that go they're more into minerals and things like that. And when they talk about gold prospecting, they're out there with sifters and going through, and they have a couple claims up in Oro Grande, as I understand.
Oh, really? A
and
claim?
They're looking for actual gold.
Oh, Oro Grande?
Tell me about a claim. With, is that private land up there? Is it public land? What is that?
No, well, I don't know how all that works. Like I said, I'm not really affiliated with that of a club. I know of them.
Okay.
And I am on their Facebook page just because I thought it'd be good to reach out and cross communicate. I mean, my metal detector is capable. But maybe, you know, if I ever in a gold area, maybe I turn it on to that mode and see what I can find.
Basically, but, what you so guys...
I don't know much about how their side of the business operates, but I do know that they're more into the minerals.
Okay.
And our club is more into the relics.
Okay, now, see, when you say relics, I want to ask you, when you go out, do you know where you're going, or do you guys have old things you're looking into?
Absolutely, no. We all know that there's antiquities laws and things like that. And one of the things I wanted to make sure I promoted on the show today was, you know, it's illegal. It's a felony to pull anything out of the ground that's over 100 years old on public land.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know if people knew that or not. But, yeah, so
no,
like if you're out metal detecting at a public park and you find a nickel from 1937, you're perfectly fine to keep that. If you find a nickel from 1900, it's illegal to pull that out of the ground.
But the thing is, if you're in a state park, you can't take anything, no matter its age.
Right.
On
a city park, it's legal.
Okay.
You can go metal detecting for like coins and gold rings and things like that in the city park. There's no problem with that. Well,
so let me guess. But, you go to playgrounds a lot and look for quarters.
You know, that's not my.
That's forte.
But a lot of guys do that. Yeah, there are a lot of detectorists in El Paso that do that, and I know guys that have found $100 worth, $1,000 worth gold rings. You know, I know a guy that found a $3,000 gold ring one time at a park.
Well, I remember I did that when I was in Maryland, and I found an old playground. And my son at the time was a playground kid, so I put him on the swings and stuff, and he was wandering around. I made the mistake of not using headphones. So every time I beep, all the other parents would, what did you find? Can I have some of it?
Yeah. No.
So you guys, if you're smart in a public park, you'll take headphones.
Oh, absolutely. Headphones help a lot with the machine anyway to help what you're doing. But, no, I was going to say, when we get back to knowing where you go, we try to hunt on private land with the owner's permission. You know, if we don't
have
the owner's permission, we're not going on there. Because when it's on private land, we can pull things out of the ground, and it's not really there's no real legal issue.
Well, do you have a feeling sometimes, James, that, and maybe Keith, do you have a feeling maybe as you're out there prospecting, if you find something really of archaeological significance, you should write it down, take a picture, and somehow try to report it to somebody?
We've done that with several things. There's a place in New Mexico. I don't like to give out the names of places we'd go detecting because I don't want riffraff going on. It's kind of like your favorite fishing hole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't share that with everybody. But this property owner tried to turn this land over to the state of New Mexico several years ago, and the state of New Mexico did not want it.
Oh.
They told him, no, we don't want it. We can't afford it. We don't, you know, we're not interested in it. So he went and turned it into his farm field. You know, that's what he's going to use. He's going to farm it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And so everything that's in that ground now is basically being destroyed every time he runs a plow over it.
Oh, yeah.
Any artifact, any relic, any bottle, things like that are getting destroyed every time he plows his field.
Wow.
And so we go out there and we're basically saving that history because nobody wants it.
That's really cool. What do you seem to find out there?
So this one area is an old Civil War fort or pre-Civil War fort, and we found military buttons from units, bullets, you know, things like that, things that are associated with the battle up there north of Elephant Butte. What is it, the Battle of Valverde?
Yeah, Valverde.
Yeah, so there's, you know, things associated with the units that were there, they're just forgotten about.
We're showing pictures from Shakespeare.
We've got ties with... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, we were showing a picture right now on the Facebook page of looks like from Shakespeare, New Mexico, of some of the items that have been found.
So that's another one, Shakespeare. Keith, obviously, is heavily associated with Shakespeare. And, of course, you know, brother-in-law, ham radio operator, also a historian or, you know, amateur historian.
Yeah, look,
look at it.
Keith has been quoting Shakespeare for years.
One time, if anybody had ever metal detected out there, and he said no, and I asked him if we could get permission from the owner. You know, we would give everything that we find to their museum.
Oh, cool.
I have no interest in keeping any of the artifacts that I find if I can display them.
Well, let me ask you, James. James, if you found a gold brick, what would you do?
A gold brick.
Have to think about that one, wouldn't you?
He'd be really quiet.
You know, what's my agreement with the owner?
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just kidding you. But Keith, let's ask.
The owner of that farm field, he doesn't care what we find. If we find it, it's ours.
All right, let's ask Keith a question or two. Keith, what is with Shakespeare? Tell people, what is Shakespeare, New Mexico?
Okay, Shakespeare is an old mining camp going back. Well, actually, it started off as a
kind of a tie-in to Melissa's history moment. It was a watering stop in the year-round road to California. And then in 1869, they discovered silver in the ridges surrounding the town, and it became a mining camp. That first boom didn't last long. Then the second boom started in June 5th of 79, and that's when they got the name Shakespeare. And it's kind of a precursor to Tombstone, because there's a lot of folks that, involved in the Tombstone fracas that hung out there before Tombstone. So, and I got to laugh because it's kind of a long, interesting story behind Shakespeare. Back in the late 90s, Dr. Sproul, a member of the Prospector Club, matter of fact, you probably met him a couple, three times at the Corral of the Westerners. He gave me a second edition of Owen White's Out of the Desert in exchange for trying to gain permission to go on to Shakespeare for a hunt.
Wow.
Well, when Janilou and Manny were alive, they always kind of, well, think about it, but it was a case of they had better things to worry, more important things to worry about. Then after Manny passed in 2018 and his daughter and her husband took over the town and got going, I broached the subject again after James asked me about it, and they said, sure. So I got it took me 20-some years to make do good on the deal with Doc Sproul, but it happened, and boy, did we find some good stuff.
What'd you find?
Well, I think for me, personally, the most interesting find is one of the guys kept finding the little clusters of spent cartridges on the street. And from where their placement along the main drag, it looked like it wasn't target practice. It looked more like a running gunfight. You know, fire a few rounds, take up a new position. And I have yet to find any stories about any pitched gun battles besides reenactments ever happening at Shakespeare.
Well, you know that they've done metal detecting on battlefields like the one on White Sands Missile Range in Brio Basin. They reconstructed the entire...
Brio Basin, I've actually taken a tour of that battlefield. It's amazing what they've done.
You know then that they reconstructed the battle by knowing where the cartridges fell. They metal detected 920-some-odd acres and picked up every cartridge and did forensics on it, so they knew who had what guns, so they were in what direction they entered the canyon. So they were able to reconstruct the entire battle. Have you ever done anything like that, James?
No, I haven't. I would love to. And that's one of the things, you know, dealing with metal detectors and archaeologists and things like that, is there's a big gap between, you know, ethics and morals and everything else like that. A lot of people see metal detectorists as treasure hunters, where they go and they loot a site and they try to keep the stuff.
Right. I know people on Facebook who seem to do that.
I don't agree with that.
Go ahead. Did we lose you, James?
I think he's in his...
Yeah, I'm sorry. My Bluetooth decided to pick up to another device.
Oh, but, I love that.
Yeah, there's...
This is your refrigerator talking.
Moral gap.
Go ahead.
And can you guys hear me okay?
Now we can. Your refrigerator got in the way there for a minute.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, like I said, my Bluetooth decided it wanted...
Well, you know, but refrigerators are on Bluetooth now. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, yeah, so I was going to say there's a big gap between archaeologists and metal detectorists because of a moral and an ethical standpoint. And one of the things I like to do is I like to bring that gap a little bit closer. Like, hey, I want to work with the archaeologists. And recently, and we're still waiting for it to happen, but we've worked with the El Paso Historical Commission, the County Historical Commission, to work on one of their sites to help the archaeologists do an archaeological survey with our metal detectors.
Oh, that's good. And actually, in the old days, was there a lot? I mean, the Indians didn't do a lot with metal, did they? You can't find what the Indians did, can you?
No. But I'll tell you what, I know everybody here is familiar with Fort Craig, and I'm not sure if everybody remembers, but many years ago, there was a story with the BLM police and things like that of a man that was going out to the Fort Craig Cemetery and looting the graves.
Oh, boom.
Yeah, I'd believe it.
Not everybody knows about Fort Craig. Explain Fort Craig.
Fort Craig is U.S. Army fort just north of Elephant Butte that was the pinpoint of the Battle of Valverde. So there was, the Union had a fort up there, the Confederates attacked, and there was a large battle. And it's probably, I think, the furthest west battle in the Civil War.
It's off to the west of I-25, right?
Yeah, it's off to the east of I-25, east north of Elephant Butte.
Okay, over there.
Rio Grande.
All right.
Exit 505.
All right, what other stories have you guys got about this? Because we got some more pictures of yours. Tell us something else that we should know.
There's a lot of
a lot of history in El Paso, and a lot of things are going away. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with where the Wigwam Museum is downtown.
Yeah.
Where they put in that new parking garage. But I remember when they were putting that in, I happened past it, and I could see the old brick foundations underneath and the bottles that they were pulling out of the ground there. And so I'd like, tell everybody, man, El Paso's got, it's full of history and underground history that everybody's forgotten about and people just want to throw away.
Oh, yeah. There was some development they were doing right along the river, and a friend of mine who was on the project with them, he's also involved in the history of the Texas Historical Commission. He found opium bottles, from some of the old opium houses down there. That's kind of a lot of people think of history, but it is fascinating because it reminds you of the Chinese history here.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and so like, talk about Chinese history and the railroad. I've worked with Prince McKenzie closely with the Railroad Museum here in El Paso, giving them some artifacts that we found. But one of the
James, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Keith, can you hear me okay?
Keith, can you fill in if we lose James?
Well, I don't know about so much on James's side, but it's like I got to thinking about it. It's like. I've been on the hunts with various other towns and sites, and I think, I don't swing so much as I look at what they dig up and try to piece together the story.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got to laugh at is a couple of mining camps that we've hit that are kind of loosely tied to Shakespeare, and it's like I've noticed a difference in the different trash we've dug up in each camp, and it's always kind of amazed me. One of them is the one camp. Very few tobacco cans, a whole lot more sardine cans than we get found at Shakespeare.
I love them sardines, huh?
Have you guys ever done anything on the Camino Real? We've got to take a break. Come back and tell us about some of those kind of adventures, because that has got to be. I mean, the Spanish, they wore metal. Their horseshoes were metal. There's got to be something of that you guys have found. But we've got to take a break. Don't do it just now. We've got these guys talking about things from the El Paso Prospector Club. And James, say your name correctly for me again, James.
Olbrich.
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 So you don't say any of those letters. You say brush.
Just forget all that stuff in the back end.
That's
Olbrich.
That's Dutch, I think. Am I correct?
And, is it?
Say again?
Is that Dutch?
No, it's German.
Oh, okay.
And then Keith Wilden. I call him Wilden.
Wild.
Well, don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah, there you go. They don't call him late for dinner. Fair enough. All right, we'll be back in a minute talking about these guys. Do you have any more comments on Facebook we should get to after the break?
I think they need to go after the break.
Fair enough. Okay. We shall do that and come up. We will take a call, but I mean, it's like that thing people have called up on the call screen and said, stop giving out the phone number. We don't want to hear the callers. But if we got something cool, let us know. All right?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Struggling with CPAP? Now there's Inspire, the only FDA-approved obstructive sleep apnea treatment that works inside the body to treat the root cause of sleep apnea with just the click of a button. No mask, no hose, just sleep. Visit InspireSleep.com to learn more.
If your basement smells like mildew, it could be coming from the last place you'd expect, your gutters. That's right. Clogged gutters cause rainwater to overflow and seep right into your foundation. Now I'm smelling costly repairs. Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter guard, is a one-time investment that keeps debris out and comes with a lifetime transferable warranty. So schedule your free estimate now. Call 844-300-LEAF. That's 844-300-LEAF. Or visit tryleaffilter.com and keep gutters clean for good.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000.
Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, one, two, three.
Optima Tax Relief took care of Eric's problem.
And now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-386-9945. 800-386-9945.
Optima Tax Relief. News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, coming up next week, we got Mark Howe. You want to know how? Ask Mark.
How?
Mark Howe, International Boundary Water Commission. He returns with some new archive material found by Randy Corbin, the grandson of an early commissioner. He wasn't a commissioner. He was a, what would you tell me? He was a consulting engineer.
Yes.
Consulting engineer. I'll get that. I didn't put it on the paper correctly. Oh. But he left several volumes of his early work in El Paso, correspondence. There's a letter in there from Anson Mills. I saw one signed. They have an original signed by President Woodrow Wilson and Secretary of State Jennings Bryan. So they got some interesting history going on there connecting to El Paso. And that's Mark L. Howell, M.A., Cultural Resources Specialist. And we'll talk to him next week. And we'll probably see him at Pepe's today. He usually shows up.
Yeah.
May the 8th, that would be 2020. I put 3021. I don't think that's going to work. May the 8th, 2021.
Stay tuned.
My own typos will kill me. But what is the history of El Paso weather?
That's going to be interesting, too.
God, I got a meteorologist coming in from National Weather Service. Could talk about some major weather events in our area. And I want to know why weather happens the way it does. Because, I mean, I think there's patterns with these mountains.
Oh, yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it. And I think we have the most boring weather in Texas, considering we don't have tornadoes or hurricanes or anything else. It is a good kind of boring.
Just bore me. Yes. Like on February 15th, bore me that day for sure.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's May the 8th for the weather. On May 15th, a new book about lost El Paso restaurants. El Paso County Historical Society has compiled that. One of the guys with a couple of restaurants that he stuck in there was Joe Lewells. So we're going to have Joe on the air. Air as a commentator on that. Second hour of that day on the 15th, I decided to see what the Historical Commission is doing. So you got the Society Hour 1, Commission Hour 2. So second hour, we've asked Barbara Welch to come in to explain the history and the mission of the El Paso County Historical Commission. Why not?
Hey, why not?
May 22nd, National Border Patrol Museum, Trans Mountain Road, Northeast El Paso. They're open and they have their restrictions, but they also will help us give a tour of what's in there. So when you get a chance, you can go in there. So there, what do you got?
Okay, well, we've got two El Paso museums are back open to visitors for the first time in about a year, the Museum of Art and the Museum of History downtown.
Andrew.
And they have, at the History Museum, they got a great exhibit about lowriders, which is something a lot of people have. Lowriders, but that's got a long history.
Oh, that's huge here.
That goes way back even when I was a kid in California.
Yeah, they got a good Pachuco outfit sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And the History Museum's located at 510 Santa Fe Street in El Paso, of course. And their phone number is 915-212-0320. And that's your cue.
Hold on a second there, Keith. On Thursday, I contacted my city rep about opening up the Archaeology Museum, the third city museum. The two are open. Why not the third one? And his office referred me to the City of El Paso Public Information Office on Friday. And they did not return my email by Friday. So we don't know why the Archaeology Museum is still closed. And so maybe we'll find
out.
Well, I mean, it's a budget thing, I'm sure. I want to be sure is the bean counters down at City Hall don't forget that museum needs to be open. Because, I mean, a lot of people who are running the city in those levels are not from here. They don't know the history. I'm not sure they care about the history. They obviously don't promote the history. When they get a chance, they sure could promote the history. So there, I'm not going to stop either. So there, huh? Okay, got a guy. You guys are still there on the phone. We got James and we got Keith, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got also some calls coming in here. Let's take a call here from a young lady named Press. Hey, Press Dirkhoop, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you all?
Oh, we're fine, Press.
We're good now.
Great
hey,
show.
Are you stopping?
I just wanted, when you're talking about history, our Rose Garden at 1702 North Copia is in full bloom.
Now, Press,
please get down there this week.
Press, you want to stop and smell the roses every chance you get. That's a good place to stop.
Absolutely. We had a couple of men, Fred Harris and Ted Phillips, and they spent 4 years way back in 1959 originating that garden. Also, the people that help with it now is the El Paso Parks and
I knew Ted Harris. He was a great gardener. He was big on that thing.
And the people that are running it and taking care of it is Parks and Recreation Department. And the master gardeners, they do a lot of work down there, most of it digging and pulling weeds and cutting. And our El Paso Rose Society, which I am president of.
Okay, give us.
And so it opened May 1st, 1959, and don't miss it.
What's the address again, Press?
It is 1702 North Copia, and it blew. This is the prime time. The next best time is in the middle of October.
You can probably
middle
smell
of April,
that.
The middle of October.
Probably smell those roses all over the place.
Press,
over there. That's great.
Press, are they renting
it's
the gardens?
Free, no charge, but please wear a mask.
Okay, Press, are they renting the gardens out for weddings and events yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I've been referring people to them. So
yes, well, you the people at the. Parks and Recreation Department handles that.
Fair enough. Press, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, you take
care. Bye, Press.
We got a short segment here, and we got a couple of callers, guys, so we may not do a lot of prospecting this hour, but we got Raul on the phone. Hey, Raul, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing fine, Raul.
Hey, I'm hiking around the Franklins. We've seen lots of land near the Franklins. Looks like it got moved around.
Where?
You know, on the eastern slopes of the Franklins. It seems like this friend of mine was saying, well, it looked like they did some mining out here.
Well, are you talking about?
I don't think there was any significant mining.
Are you talking, Raul?
I'm aware.
Raul, yes, are you talking far northeast El Paso?
Yes.
There was a miner who had a permit, the last permit on the Franklins before it became a state park, and that guy. His initials were SOB, as far as I care. What he did, he took...
Yeah, I probably know who you're talking
well,
about.
Well, no, you may not. He's passed away. But what I talked to his widow, because I was doing a video 20 years ago about that, so I checked it out. He took a bulldozer and drove it up against the mountain and just scraped it for 30, 40, 50 yards and just opened up the mountain to see what he could find. And he left it that way and drove off. That kind of mining, that happened up in Northeast. The area I'm referring to is at Hit Canyon. HITT Canyon, if you look it up on a map.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a few people who learned how to turn rocks into gold in this community and scarring the mountain a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that was because they sold the land, not because they found gold.
Right. So, guys, was there ever any significant mining here in El Paso?
No, the tin mines.
That's right.
Tin mine.
Yeah, it was the only one at its time, I think, in the country, right?
Yeah, it's the only tin mine in North America, and it's located at the northeast section of the Franklin Mountains inside the state park.
Did you know where Chuck Heinrich? Do you know where Chuck Heinrich Park is?
How long did that last? Was that a viable operation for any length of time?
10 years or less.
It was.
Yeah, I think it was about 10 years, and they pulled out, I don't know how much 10, but they pulled out quite a bit, and then they just shut it down.
It turned out not to be worth it.
Okay, when was this?
Raul, do you know where Chuck Heinrich Park is?
Yeah, I know where that is.
Okay,
I've been there. I've seen the tin mines.
You park there. Okay, you drive. You just walk across the desert for 3 miles, and you'll hit it. You can see them from a distance.
Yeah. And when was that again? When were they doing that mining?
Oh, 1906 and somewhere down in there.
Oh, okay.
And
thank you.
Okay, you take care easy. Thanks for ringing up. All right, gentlemen, we got to come back after the break here and talk some more here. And we get some stories ready because prospecting in El Paso has been going on for a long time. Now, you are the current El Paso Prospectors Club, James Ulbrich and Keith Wilt on the phone here. However, I interviewed Tom Lee, the artist, before he passed away. He was telling me his father was looking for the Lost Padre Mine. Well, now there's a prospect to find. And the man, he hired prospectors all the time to go looking in the desert for him. This is Tom Lee, the mayor, back in the day. So I've got a story or two to tell you about that. How about that, huh? No big deal. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, and I have some questions from some of our Facebook listeners, so we can get to those after the break.
We will. After the break, we're going to do the ink thing, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this stuff. All right, coming back after the break, if you do have a call that you really need to give to us, you're going to tell me that phone number.
It's 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher podcast is part spy thriller, part detective story. Best-selling author and journalist Stephen Talty tells the pulse-pounding tale of an undercover operation to track down a Nazi killer.
A part of history that seems so bizarre to me that it couldn't have been real. But in 1964, the Israelis decided that Herbert Zuckers had to die.
Listen to The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No access to the internet but eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine? No problem. Call 211 for a referral to a local vaccine provider. If you know a vaccine-eligible person without internet, please share this information with them. Brought to you by the Texas Department of State Health Services.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We'll be telling you now what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
El Paso is one step closer to getting its first law school.
Passengers are returning to El Paso International Airport as the travel industry begins its post-pandemic rebound.
Charlie Clark talks about what it took to open the Nissan dealership in El Paso, the hot used car market, and the movie featuring his alter ego, the Green Ghost.
Oh my. El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra, the topic is the new basketball coach at UTEP. Host Eric Elkin talks with UTEP men's basketball head coach Joe Golding, who talks about his plans for the program.
Hear about it on ABC 7 Extra, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7, where news comes first. Yes.
They like that. Yes.
It's a good tagline.
Well, you know, not only that, those would be pretty good at this news business. Do you realize they won an Edward P. Murrow Award, which is not a minor thing to do?
Murrow Award is huge. Yeah, Murrow's the, you know, person.
This is London, yes. Back in the World War II days. So anyway, enough of that. All right, getting back to the guys at hand here. Well, you got a bunch of comments or questions for these guys on Facebook, right?
James Olbers. I had one gentleman who'd like to know, Sean Goggin. He wants to know if they're... how he can learn how to use his metal detector that his wife Linda gave him for his birthday. He's tried it out, but he'd like to get more detail. Do you guys ever have classes or anything? Or
you know, we don't really have classes, so to speak, but we do have meetings. I mean, COVID has really put a damper on all that stuff. But if you come to a meeting or come to one of our outings, you know, we'd be more than happy to show people how to use their machines.
And you have a website or?
It's on Facebook. If you look up the El Paso Prospectors Club, you'll find our club page.
Great.
I guess the other thing about today, we promoted one group and booked another. That's the way it goes. But the guys that I thought we were putting on the gold prospectors, you know what? I don't think they want to talk. Guess why? I'm not going to tell you where I found my gold. Are you kidding me? Where did you find your gold? But the thing is, I don't think they're finding gold around it. That's why they have to go up to Oro Grande, which basically means big gold, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you've got Oro Grande, which is, Oro, like big gold, yeah. And then another one that a lot of people don't know about is Pinos Altos.
Yeah.
On the southern side of the Gila Wilderness and the history in that town, too. A lot of gold up there.
Yeah, it's
amazing. By the way, Rodney Link has put up the next Shakespeare date for you guys. May 8th and 9th, you're going to have a big Shakespeare event up there. Somebody send that to me in writing. We'll read it up here.
Oh, that was Rod Linkus. Yeah, he put that up. And they used to do, Keith and Rod and his group used to do the gunfights out there. But now they've been helping out by doing the tours. But, of course, the pandemic shut things down. But this, I believe, is going to be the first one. Am I right, Keith?
Oh, that's for Shakespeare, it never really shut down. If anybody showed up at the gate, Dave has been more willing to do a tour throughout all of this, so we kept chugging along.
And what's this guy talking about, the Battle of Mesilla?
Oh, that's Victor Guzman.
What was that?
Yeah, there was a subsequent battle after the Battle of Valverde down in Mesilla. Fort Fillmore was located just south of Mesilla. Just south of Mesilla. Actually, it's where a pecan grove stands now. And it was a Union fort that when the Confederates came down, the Union basically gave it up without a fight, even though they outnumbered the Confederates. The Confederates took it over, and then the Union came back and took it back from the Confederates, and it was abandoned around then. It only existed for about 10 years.
And that's the whole thing just turned back into adobe dirt, right?
Yeah, well, so after the Civil War, it turned into I don't want to call it a stagecoach stop for the Butterfield Overland, but it turned into like a waypoint.
Right.
They used it as a watering hole and a place to rest and get out and stretch your legs. But, yeah, it basically crumbled into dirt. And I think there were several attempts made to donate it to the state of New Mexico along with a couple other places. And that's one of the places where New Mexico was not interested in it.
And it's been announced as they have pecans, right?
Yeah, now it's a pecan grove. You can see it as you drive up I-24 or I-10 going to Las Cruces.
We talked about
on the west side of I-10.
We talked about the battlefield inside the White Sands Missile Range. And it was a pristine battlefield nobody really knew about until some historian said, well, you know what? I got these letters. I'm seeing letters in the files here somewhere in some military place about the Buffalo soldiers talking about a battle that they did. So he traced it down, looked at Army records, and found out the Battle of Embrio Basin, which is on White Sands, was a huge thing. They were chasing the Indian Victorio. That's the one I'm talking about, where they metal detected 920 acres and figured out the battle. It turns out to be a very unusual battle tactic, and every spring, the people at West Point send a couple of buses of cadets down here to study the battle, because instead of retreating, which the Indians expected the Army to do, the guy charged forward and made a mess out of the Indians. And so and it was three columns of Buffalo soldiers. One column was late, so they know that battle. But what Rodney put up on a Facebook page, they also did that at Custer's Last Stand battlefield, a little big one.
They did.
But the problem...
Same archaeologist.
Same archaeologist?
Yeah, the same archaeologist that did the both battlefields.
Well,
did the Little Bighorn first, and then they came down after the fact and did the Battle of Embrio Basin.
The one in Embrio Basin was done by the archaeology firm that ran the contract in White Sands. They had access. That's Carl Lombaugh. I don't know. Did he actually do the one up in Little Bighorn?
I don't know who the lead was, but it was the same group with the metal detectors and everything else using the same forensics.
But James, to identify
casings and whatnot.
But James, the problem was that the battle where Custer had was open to the public and everybody knew where it was. People picked up the cartridges left and right, so the whole battle could not have been determined. In the one in White Sands Missile Range, it was never touched until these guys showed up. And so that's why that battle is different. Go ahead.
It's not entirely true either. Proximity to the Embrio Basin, to Victorio Peak, I mean, they are literally within walking distance from each other. The name escapes me, but the gentleman who owned the property before it was taken over by White Sands, the one they claimed all the gold and everything was in the peak there.
Doc Noss?
His house is right in between the peak and the battlefield itself, right at the water source where the cavalrymen were actually trying to fight their way to while they were pinned down there.
So you think that battlefield was also picked over?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Carl told me it was pristine, nobody touched it because nobody knew about it. Okay, Carl. I'll get Carl in here one day.
If you go out there and walk around, you can still see the escarpments that the Indians built to fight the cavalry guys.
Wow.
Their fighting positions are still visible and everything like that.
So. Would you like to go back to that battlefield and do some prospecting?
I don't think so. I don't, because of historical significance. I don't think there'd be anything there that I could provide to the public.
Right.
Again, you know, I do a lot more metal detecting for the joy of finding history and exposing history that's going to be lost and forgotten. That area is not in need of that.
Okay, what are you working on now? What are you going to work on next?
We got a permission for the old Army airfield in Deming. I think that might be one that we have to go look at. You know, they trained bombardiers there during World War II, and a lot of them. So
have you,
if there's going to be any good stuff out there, it'll be out there.
Have you been
but
to
the danger of being plowed over and turned into a development at this point?
Really?
Speaking of that battle, that airfield that was practiced for bombers, have you been to the museum in Deming?
I have. Oh, yes.
Do you know what's in there? The Norden bomb site. They have one. They have one in there that they used to use on that range. That blew me away. I walked in and said, what the heck is this doing here? That used to be the most secret thing in the Air Force, or Army at the time. Anyway, so what else? Oh, go ahead.
I knew a guy here in El Paso that there used to run a bunch of junk stores amongst all his other trades. And he had a Norden bomb site as a conversation piece on his coffee table in his living room.
Oh, geez.
That wasn't Bruce Bissonette, was it?
No, it's like this. His great uncle was responsible for the Chihuahua being made an official member of the American Kennel Club.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Fair. We got to take another break here, guys. Come back and wrap this up. Tell us how to get involved in your group and whatever else we ask you that we didn't do. And do you have any more Facebook things going on?
Oh, I'm just posting the links to their club, the Prospectors Club, the El Paso Prospectors Club. I put it up a Facebook page link as well as a phone number that they can get a hold of these people if they're interested in joining.
All right, we'll take a break. Back in a moment.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Times are changing. Habits are changing. Your customers need to know you're open and how you're protecting them. 93% of Americans hear radio ads every week. So put radio to work with iHeartMedia. Call 844-BUY-RADIO today. That's 844-BUY-RADIO.
Hi, I'm host Robin Roberts, and on a new podcast from iHeartRadio, COVID-19, Immunity in Our Community, we'll hear from Americans on the front lines and the doctors and medical experts who convince them and their loved ones to roll up their sleeves and get vaccinated. Listen to COVID-19 Immunity in Our Community on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. We can do this.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited to launch my very first podcast, The Truth, with Lisa Booth with iHeartRadio and Gingrich 360. The Truth with Lisa Booth is a podcast that rejects groupthink, rejects fake news, and will never bow down to the political correctness poisoning this country from within. If you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone and join me on this wild ride, then buckle up. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Find The Truth with Lisa Booth on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, here's some history you got to help protect if you can. There's an effort to get Casner Range declared a national monument. Of course, walking around out there is not going to be easy. The exploded ordnance or unexploded ordnance,
walk
both.
Walk gingerly.
Yeah, well, walk with one foot or whatever. But that's out there in northeast El Paso. It was once a firing range. There was a movie with Richard Widmark, I think, about somebody will call up and tell us the name of it. But they
the high ground.
There you go. You guys knew that. You could see that in the background. And, you know, they blew up a lot of stuff up against the Franklins. That would be everywhere from, like, Hondo Pass on north up to where the housing starts again, because they couldn't put the housing on the range. And, you know, they're doing that again on the Oro Grande Mountains up there in White Sands Missile Range. That's where they're firing now. Anyway, people want to save the Casner Range. Frontier Land Alliance are getting involved in that. So there's and I know the Community Foundation is big on this. Eric Pearson loves this kind of stuff. CasnerForever.org. Sign a letter of support and donate, if you want, to the Fund for Casner Range. Here it is, Casner Range. It's been here forever. Let's keep it here forever. And don't shoot any more holes in it. I don't think that's part of the slogan, but anyway. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about, we've got Keystone Heritage Park. We're wide open now. We have a lot of people. It's been busy over there. I was over there. We gave a tour to school kids, and we do tours, private tours.
Well, the whole world is opening up.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, and it's great because it's outdoors, and the kids had a great time. It's the first trip they've had in a year, and they were just all over the place. It was so much fun being with them. But the Keystone Heritage Park is open 9 a.m. to sunset every day except Mondays, and we are taking information on rentals for weddings and other special events in the park. So give us a call at 915-584-0563.
Yeah, how many phones you got in your house?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'm answering Border Group, which is my company, or I'm answering for Keystone. I get confused.
Or just somebody calling up on a history question.
Yeah, but on Facebook, I got to point out one. There was kind of an interesting one, which Victor Guzman, he also came into on, was, has anybody in this group been up to the site of the Battle of Brazito, which I think was next to the twins. It was a twin or three sisters that they've torn down now.
Job has turned them into gravel, them into gravel.
And I'm wondering, with the site out there, with that being Job's land now, I'm wondering if that's where the battle was. I think Bernie knows where it is. But have you guys as a group been up there or know of anybody that has had a chance to prospect that area?
Oh, I would absolutely love to. Colonel Donovan and his routing of the Mexican army there, and then marching straight into El Paso. I'd love to find it. The problem is finding the location and then getting the property owner's permission.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always the biggest part of it, is getting there.
What about permission. The Camino Real? Have you guys done anything up in New Mexico? Because that's more of a pristine...
Or along the river, yeah.
Well, original Camino Real up there. I mean, the Camino Real went right through Pepe's restaurant. And, you know, that's concrete and a strip mall now. So you're not going to find anything there except concrete and a strip mall. But way up in New Mexico, I'm sure that's... I know that's original. But that's BLM land. Can you detect on there?
No, you cannot. Yeah, that runs into the whole Antiquities Act from 1972. Which is an interesting story of how that came to be, too. If you have time to read, you should look into that.
Well, let me ask you, can you do it along the river? Now, that is the Water Boundary Commission. That's their purview.
That's protected under the same laws.
Okay. Just curious along that.
So you have to find private property, get permission from the owner, and then go out there.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, that's the hardest thing. So finding a site is hours and hours of research and looking at old maps and then looking at new maps and finding out who owns the property. Deming is one of those areas where it's really difficult. You've got Cook's Peak, which has a lot of mining towns and things like that. Finding out who owns that property now and getting hold of them.
How about
real troublesome?
How about Bishop's Cap? Have you ever been up there?
I'm driving coffee right now, actually.
Oh, you are. Have you ever processed?
I've never detected out there. No.
I've got some mining claims from about 120 years ago by Tom Lee Sr. I have copies of the mining claims on the side of Bishop's Cap. I'm wondering what I wonder what he found. Who knows? I mean, but the point is, there were never a lot of minerals in the Franklins, except the 10 mines that we know about. Because, I mean, I talk to geology people. They say down in the washes is where they've looked for gold traces. They don't find them. But there are holes all over the Franklin Mountains. A lot of them filled up in the 1930s in the Civilian Corps doing work. But they poked the Spanish poked holes in the Franklins. A lot of people came after them. Melissa?
This kind of goes along that same. I had a gentleman call me this week because he saw the topic on the show and he had my number. And he called me and he's got a bunch of ore and mining equipment available for sale at his warehouse down in El Paso. And it's a whole bunch of ore, let's put it that way. And so he wanted me to put that out there. If anybody's interested, they can call me at 915-581-7920. But I'm thinking, well, that's kind of prospecting in its sense.
Are you in for a percentage?
No. Just doing it as a favor, being a nice person.
But there's weird stuff that comes through this radio
studio. You get calls, I get calls, Bernie gets calls. But it's fun because you learn so much.
Well,
so.
Keith and James, we thank you guys for doing this. It's an interesting topic. The gold people, I think they're going to stay hidden because they don't want to talk about what they find.
Oh.
Yes, and if people are looking for them, they can find them on Facebook as well, the Gold Prospectors of El Paso.
Yeah.
I pasted that on our Facebook page for you.
Anyway, interesting history. And Keith, thanks for cooking this up for us.
Good topics.
Think of something else. We've got other time coming up here. And we do sometimes come back to topics because I think a lot of people need to know things like the McGoffin home, the Camino Real, and major things of El Paso history that nobody knows the history in El Paso as a school kid because you're not taught that in the public schools. That's one of my big beasts. We'll take care of that one day. In the meantime, thank you guys for being here and joining us. Next week, we're going to come back and do this again.
Yes,
it's going to be interesting. We've got some archives have surfaced from the old days of the Boundary Commission, before it had a water name to it. The International Boundary Commission was formed originally, and then they added water to it when they said, okay, let's go up there and claim the Rio Grande all the way to middle of the New Mexico. We'll hear about that next week. Gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us. See you at Pepe's if you got time.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, you two. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. You take care. Andrew in the control room, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m., Talk El Paso. There's the man right there behind that window. Talk to him on Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. here on KTSM. Everybody, I'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.